Some wonderful discussion on the history of newspapers in, well, not only Riley County, but the state of Kansas, and how they have impacted so many things. Our guest today, Dr. Stephen Smethers, director of the A.Q. Miller School of Journalism at Kansas State University, and Cheryl Collins with the Riley County Museum and Historical Society. And Cheryl, let's talk a little bit more about some of the local press. We started in 1859 with the Kansas Express. Where do we go from there?
Well, we had lots of different newspapers over time. One of them that I think is particularly interesting is the one that Josiah Pillsbury started, and he moved to Manhattan in 1862 because he was elected Riley County Surveyor, and pretty soon thereafter he started the Manhattan Independent newspaper, and it was a very independent newspaper. Of course, he had some independent religious views and political thoughts. He was a spiritualist eventually, and of course that believed in, I guess, communication from the great beyond. He was an ardent prohibitionist, and one of the mainstays of income for newspapers was patent medicine ads. And patent medicines, of course, had a high alcohol content, so he would not run them. So that made it kind of difficult for him to finance his newspaper, but he was a highly principled man, and he decided he would not do that. So he had the Independent for a number of years until his wife, Elnora, well, she had twins. She and the babies both died, and she had been a major, major help in running the newspaper, and I think he lost heart in doing that, and so he in 1868, sold the paper to L.R. Elliott, and it consolidated with the Standard. And then L.R. Elliott bought out E.C. Manning's The Kansas Radical, and all of that came together as the Standard for a while. So that's one of the things I think is very interesting, is you have consolidation of newspapers over time. So we had lots of different, mostly weekly newspapers, and quite often they would merge. And I think, Steve, you see a lot of consolidation in newspapers in the world today.
Oh, it's very important, Cheryl, because today, as we see a declining readership and so on, and we're all familiar, I think, with the paradigm that newspapers are operating under right now. One of the things that we see is consolidation of news, consolidation of ownership. We have all of the newspapers in this particular market now being owned by the Seton family, and that's okay. That's okay, because if it's a way for the publishers to be, or the publisher to be able to maintain the service it's provided to the community, I think that's probably a fair thing, because right now we're seeing a real crisis in ownership. So, mm-hmm. So few people want to invest in the newspaper business anymore. I'm sorry, Cheryl, go ahead.
Well, I had a question. A lot of the big city newspapers are owned by corporations that aren't in the city, the ownership is not in the city that publishes the newspaper. Is that correct?
That's correct. You know, and every day, I want the people of Manhattan every day to be thankful for something that's important that we have here. We have a local family that owns the newspaper and is a chief stockholder in Manhattan Broadcasting. And the reason is precisely this. You know, when you take the emotional ties that people have with their community away from a newspaper, you are really ridden with a newspaper that ceases to lose its effectiveness. It's happened in so many markets. Two or three years ago, one newspaper chain came in and acquired most of the newspapers in the state. We're talking about the Salina Journal, the Hayes Daily News, the Hutchinson News, and so on. They also acquired the Topeka Capital Journal. And in every case, we saw those newspapers come out of this ownership as being a shadow of what they once were. And it was because we had people with MBAs and not journalists running newspapers. And in this market, we have a dedication to local news. What we're doing right now on this radio station is an outgrowth of that, because a local family owns the station and says, this is what we choose to do with this frequency that we have the privilege of operating on. And so whether it's the Mercury or KMAN and all of the KMAN sister stations, these media outlets share something very, very important. They are an outgrowth of the philosophy of a local family that localness is still important. KMAN is running an announcement that is so critical, celebrating its 70th year on the air of local ownership and local service.
One of the things, you know, we're very fortunate. And you know, one of the things that also is that there's very little interaction other than the business side between our radio stations and the newspaper. We mm-hmm. basically are completely autonomous with a news and programming perspective. And, you know, the Seton family is, you know, they obviously are very committed. And that's a rather, Steve, that's an anomaly in today's world. Not only, I mean, it's just like how many communities in Kansas can say that there's a local family that is, A, running a local newspaper, and B, the local radio stations?
I don't know of any others in the state of Kansas. I think there is still some family ownership down in Winfield.
Right.
Down there, the Arkansas City Daily Traveler and the Winfield Courier joined forces down there, speaking of consolidation. But as far as I recall, that's the only other market in the state where that happens. Family ownership is a big deal. Descendants of William Allen White still own the Emporia Gazette. Up until about 3 years ago, the Lawrence Journal World was owned by the Simons family, and Dolph Simons played a big role in defining local news and local service for northeastern Kansas. We have some markets where it still goes on. The Iola Register is still family owned by the Lynn family. But, you know, it's increasingly becoming an anomaly to find local ownership of newspapers. And so many people decry that because they see that as the loss of dedication to the local market.
And another aspect of the larger cities, Wichita, the Eagle, and the Kansas City Star have a relationship. And I don't know if it's the same ownership, but at least that they are, it is the same ownership. And they're printing everything out of Kansas City?
Yeah.
Well, that technology change over time, I think, is also very interesting.
And that's one of the subjects I wanted to visit with you about. It was what, Cheryl, how were those first papers in Raleigh County printed in 1859?
With printers printing with type by hand. Yeah, they were, it was a highly labor-intensive process. And there were a number of women printers that got to be highly skilled. Printers, of course, printers seemed to be pretty itinerant. I don't know if Steve has any perspectives on this, but they would move from paper to paper. And for instance, Damon Runyon's father started out as a printer, and then, of course, eventually owned his own paper and went on from there. But printers were sometimes pretty colorful characters.
I think it's interesting to note there are a lot of analogies with printers and with telegraph operators, because the telegraph was an indispensable way of collecting news. The Associated Press had telegraph operators working for them up until about 1915, when automated teletype machines came into being. And you found that printers and telegraphers were very, very indeed colorful people, sort of a nomadic group. And I think you can make the analogy today to IT people, because I think we all know IT people who are incredibly gifted, incredibly talented, and they have this kind of ability to be able to command their own salaries because everybody needs them. And yet at the same time, they probably have so much of the technical skill and know-how that printers of the day, telegraph operators of the day, would have had.
That adding the Telegraph for news, I think, is very interesting. And I know that when big news would come in on the Telegraph, newspaper offices were connected, and people would go to the physical newspaper office, and they would post big news. And that's where you'd get your, it's kind of like you turn on K-Man to get the up-to-the-minute news. If you want it, you know, right now, that's where you go. So that technology kind of changed over time. Telephones made a big difference in news gathering and communication.
I think it's such an interesting chapter in the history of telecommunications history, Cheryl and Dave, to actually realize what the telegraph meant to this society. We did not have universal diffusion of the telephone in America until the 1960s. And that sounds remarkable, but that's really true. And so it meant that the only way to officially notify somebody of anything was by the telegraph. But in the old days before the founding of the teletype services, so many times, let's say you want to know what the World Series score is, people would camp out by the railroad depot or the local newspaper office to be able to find out what was going on in the series. I have a very instructive photograph from the front page of the New York Times. I believe it was in 1910, when out in front of the Times, there would be a crowd of thousands gathering, trying to find out what the score was between the Yankees and the St. Louis Cardinals. And there would be somebody who would get the score that would be delivered by telegraph to the newspaper. And this person standing outside the newspaper office had a megaphone and would essentially do, it really wasn't play by play, but by golly, it was announcements about what's going on in the game. And it was probably the same kind of work that you do at Bill Snyder Stadium, Dave, at least from the standpoint of being able to keep people up to date on what the yardage is and the who's got a first down and so on and so forth. I think as you look at this stuff, realize that we've always had this demand for immediacy. We weren't always able to get it, and we weren't able to get it until the telegraph made local news dissemination possible in almost any market.
We have a phone call, and this is going to be an interesting topic. And Dr. Smethers, I'll let you answer this because you probably have a lot more background on FCC rules and such. And good morning. You're on K-Man's In Focus with Cheryl Collins and Dr. Stephen Smethers.
Good morning. A lot of people had no clue that the Seton family owns both the print and the broadcast in this town. My question is, what areas, what other communities have that situation? And we're fortunate that they don't interfere with one another and they don't control the market because they're great people. Mm-hmm. However, what happens if someone comes in and buys both of those and they are completely opposite? Should there be some rulings from the FCC that you cannot own print and broadcast media in the same community, in the same town?
Steve?
Yes, sir. That's a really, really good point. The duopoly rule is what it's called. You cannot own a newspaper if you own a radio station. Now, over the years, that has, in the same community of license, the same city. Now, over the years, you know, we've lost a little bit of our resistance to that as we've seen media conglomerates take things over. But you're really right. This was the question that people had. You know, can a family like the Setons own the local paper and radio station, and can they be competing entities? And Dave, as you said earlier, I think probably that Ed and Ned have done a wonderful job in being able to keep the operations separate and being able to even keep their hands off of content on each other's media. Now, there are very few communities that I'm aware of. Now, any community where this was already going on prior to the duopoly rule, this was grandfathered in as being acceptable. So when this came out, there was no pressure from the FCC that the Mercury had to sell K-Man and had to divorce itself from K-Man. But we did see that kind of a breakup in Topeka when the Stoppers sold the Topeka Capital Journal and the WIBW stations. Remember, they own the Capital Journal, WIBW AM, WIBW FM, and WIBW TV. And in that market, all of those stations had to be divested by the Capital Journal when new people came in. That was Morris Communications, came in and bought the newspaper. And so it's really instructive then to look at what happened. Those were old established call letters. And so all three stations, AM, FM, and television, had an agreement where they got to keep those call signs because that was really important to the branding of those stations in the Topeka market. And so that gives you an idea then of how big this rule was. Now, I've got a graduate student, and KMAN listeners would know who this guy is. His name is Aaron Liker, and Aaron has been a broadcaster in Colorado. He became a broadcaster after he left KMAN and went to Colorado and bought a couple of radio stations. And he is now, with his wife, teaching school in Wichita. He maintains ownership in those stations. And one of the things that he has pointed out is that in this day where people are so afraid of investing in small markets, and I'm talking about small town radio, the duopoly rule is actually encouraging people to not want to get invested because they look at a small town and they see that the revenue just isn't there to be able to support a radio station independently of a newspaper's advertising base. And so there are people making the argument now that probably duopoly has outlived its usefulness because it is a way to keep local news and information maybe a more attractive proposition in some small communities. So I hope that that answers your question.
And in today's world, you know, with so much available that's online as well, and how, you know, both news and radio entities have evolved in what they do with websites, that's also a key factor of that. We need to take a break, guys. When we return, we'll continue our visit with Cheryl Collins and Dr. Stephen Smethers about newspapers. We kind of got a little, you know, radio side going through because that's what we do. But we're going to talk a little bit more when we come back about some of the other print efforts in Rodney County with Cheryl and Steve when we come back from K-Man's In Focus.